I've been preaching for several weeks about getting back to the basics. It's football season, as most of you know, and Vince Lombardi would always start football season out by holding up a football. And he would say, "This is a football, men." He was saying, "Let's get back to the basics. Let's start with the basics." I know churches that are trying to ever trend under the sun. But what we need is true worship to God. True worship to God. And then we need the Word of God. And it will still work. It will still work. Worship to God and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And I'll promise you, it will still work. I want you to take your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts, when I was in Bible college, my homiletics teacher used to tell me that Acts stands for a church training series. It's how church ought to be. In Acts 2:41, it says this: "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about what the church should do and be. What the church should do and be. You know, there are 450,000 churches in America. There's all different types. There's large churches, there's small churches, there's mega churches, there's medium-sized churches. There are all different types of churches. There are churches that are conservative. There are churches that are moderate. There are churches that are liberal. There are all different kinds of churches. There are churches that, this dress is appropriate and that dress is appropriate. You say, "Pastor Benny, what's appropriate at Rock Springs?" I'll tell you what's appropriate. Everything's appropriate as long as you're modest. If you're modest, I think we ought to be modest, don't you? I think the Word of God teaches that. But what should the church be? I heard about three pastors that were struggling because pastors lean on each other and they sympathize and empathize with each other, but they all three had bats in their attic. They couldn't get the bats out of the attic. And one pastor said, "I went up into the attic and I fumigated the attic," but he said, "You know, the bats came right back." Another pastor, he said, "I went up in the attic. I took my .410 shotgun up in the attic." And he said, "I started shooting and shot holes in the roof and didn't kill the bats." And one pastor said, "I'll tell you what I did. I just baptized all the bats and received them into church membership, and I hadn't seen them since." But anyway... Now, last week we talked about the birth of the church. We talked about how 3,000 got saved and how the church was born on the 50th day, 50 days from Passover to Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, how the church was born. And we talked about that's how the church began. But now I want you to see today, folks, what's the function of the church? What should be the function of this church? What should be the function of every church? Certainly, we should look to the Word of God, and we should be doing what the Word of God teaches that the early church did. Now, I want you to see five things about the early church. The first thing I want you to see about the early church is they were committed to truth. They were committed to truth. I have reached this conclusion, folks. No matter what, I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? We're going to preach the Word of God. And you know, that's what the early church did. If you look in Acts 2:42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." You say, "Now, Pastor Benny, would that be the New Testament?" No, you got to understand, it was 20 years after Pentecost before the church received the first book of the New Testament, which would have been the book of Galatians. So it wasn't the New Testament that they were studying. They literally were studying the Old Testament. And they were studying the life of Jesus Christ. See, in verse 41, it says, They gladly received his word and they were baptized. Where did they get that concept from? Why did they receive the word, then they followed the Lord in baptism? They accepted Christ and then followed the Lord in baptism. Why did they do that? I'll tell you why they did that. Because in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus had taught them to go and baptize all nations. See, the reason why they followed in baptism is because that's what Jesus taught. See, I have people sometimes say to me, if we go back to Acts 2 and 41, they say, Pastor Benny, when I was a child, I was christened. I was dedicated. So I've been baptized. No, you hadn't been baptized. See, they received his word and then they were baptized. See, it's believer's baptism. It's believer's baptism. Yeah. You say, what's believer's baptism about, Pastor Benny? This morning, a man came up to me and he gave my wedding ring back to me. He gave my wedding ring back. And I hadn't been wearing it for several weeks. And I've broken my wedding ring about 3 or 4 times. And how I do that, folks, I've got a ring sometimes I wear on this finger. It's a million liters mandate ring. And I clap. And I can't even clap in rhythm. I have no rhythm. But anyway, I keep breaking my ring. So I just got my ring back this morning. Literally, a guy brought and said, here's your ring. I picked your ring up for you. But you know what's amazing? For several weeks, I hadn't been wearing my ring, but I've still been married. And Barbara said, amen, you better believe it, you are. Sure, I've been married. But see, that wedding ring doesn't make me married. All that wedding ring is a symbol that I am married. And when I put on that wedding ring, it just says I'm married. And folks, see, that's what baptism is. It's a symbol that you've accepted Christ. See, for years, I taught wrong, folks. For years, I taught wrong. I taught for a person to accept Christ, they need to walk down an aisle and they need to accept Christ. I don't know why I would have been so adamant about it, because I never walked down an aisle and accepted Christ. I accepted Christ at home. But I was adamant that other people ought to do something that I didn't even do. But see, you got to understand something. Baptism is that public profession. You can accept Christ in your pew. You can accept Christ in your car. You can accept Christ in your home. You can accept Christ anywhere. But when you follow the Lord in baptism, that's making your faith public. That's saying, I'm making it public. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. See, they were committed to the truth. They were committed to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be committed to the truth. A church that's a Bible-based church is committed to the truth. It matters not what anybody, somebody says, I wonder where Pastor Benny stands on this. It really doesn't matter where Pastor Benny stands. It's what God's word says. They were committed to truth, but I want you to see something else about this church. They were compassionate toward the needy. Look what verse 44 and verse 45 says. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. See, folks, the Bible's not teaching communism. It never teaches socialism. Nobody forced them. The government didn't force them to do that. Folks, I don't mean this wrong. I wouldn't offend anybody. But the government's not the answer. As far as I'm concerned, I think as far as I'm concerned, the greatest political leader we have in Washington, D.C., is in our service today. It's David Perdue, my good friend right over here sitting to my right. He's the best one in Washington, by the way. But you know what he knows? The answer's not in government, folks. That's not the answer. No, nobody made the early church care about one another. They just cared about one another. And see, folks, the church that's pleasing to God, they're compassionate. They're compassionate toward the needy. That's why we have ministries like we have here at Rock Springs that you're a part of. It's your generosity that makes it happen. That's why we have Impact Christian Ministry. In August alone, folks, we serve 3,688 hot meals to people. Yes. In August alone, 15,546 pounds of food went out. In August alone, 123 families received food, clothing, household items, and furniture. That's what we do, folks. We got to love people until they ask us why. We got to love people until they ask us why. That's why we have Rock Springs Clinic. That last year, if you go to our clinic, you can't have any medical insurance. But last year, 1,515 patients were served through our clinic. People, yes, you can clap. Literally, 4,335 prescriptions were filled for people who had no recourse. And you said, Brother Benny, it's for the downtrodden. Some of those that were downtrodden that received prescriptions were related to Dr. Benny Tate because they had nowhere else to go. See, folks, we have a Rock Springs Global Outreach. In Haiti alone, in August, we fed 6,000 meals to orphans. See, folks, if I read the Bible correctly, if you read James 1 and 27, that's what pure religion really is. It's caring for the widows and the orphans. See, what's so interesting, folks, if you read this scripture, they did all this, but if you look at verse 46, it says they did it with gladness. You know what they've learned, folks? The early church learned that fulfillment comes through giving to others and not getting. Fulfillment comes through blessing others and not trying to be blessed. See, they were compassionate toward the needy. I'm just curious. How many of you going through some trouble in your life? Yeah. How many of you seated right beside you? You know, a wonderful promise is in Psalms 41 and 1. Listen what this scripture says. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. He said, wait, Benny, if you'll consider the poor, you know what I'll do for you? I'll deliver you in the time of trouble. Is that what the book says, folks? If you consider the poor, I'll deliver you in the time of trouble. Folks, I want to just say something. You know, many, many times we talk about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we want to talk about the sexual pervertedness. But there's a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. God didn't just destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the sexual sin. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of breath, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. God said it wasn't just over the sexual sin. It was over there was poor people, and you didn't have a heart and compassion for them. Let me tell you something. The early church, they were compassionate toward the needy. I want you to see something else that I studied this week. They were connected in community. Now, the Jewish people, folks, were very familiar. They were Jewish. They were very familiar with going to the temple. But you got to realize, on Pentecost, there were 3,000 of them that got saved. And God did something that's so wonderful. If you look at verse 46, notice what it says. It says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. What was God doing? God said, there's 3,000 of you. And if you go to Israel, the homes are small. But he said, I want you in small groups. He understood that they couldn't care for one another if they were in a large group. He knew the only way they could adequately be cared for is put them in a small group. House to house, they needed one another. Because, folks, it's great. I'm great you're here today. This is a big room. But I want you to know something. Fellowship can never turn into friendship in a crowd. Fellowship can never turn into friendship in a crowd. That's why it's so important. We're calling it life groups. That's why in your bulletin, you have an insert to get signed up for a life group. Because every one of us, folks, need to be in a small group. Did you ever think about this? Why does hospitality and hospital both come from the same Latin word? Because hospitality and hospitable and hospital both lead to healing. That's why the Bible says in James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I want to challenge you again today to get signed up to be in a life group, to get signed up to be in a small group, because there's no way we're going to know about your needs and there's no way you're going to know about other people's needs if you're just in an auditorium, if you're just in a crowd. See, I'm so excited about the families that are saying we're having a life group in our home, because there's something about going into somebody's home. When somebody invites me into their home, you know what they're saying? You're a part of my family. You're a part of my family. Let me tell you who I've developed a little bit of a relationship with. I've developed a little bit of a relationship with a baseball player by the name of Chipper Jones. By the way, he's a good guy. He's a good man. And I went to his home, and I've got to be honest with you. I was a little nervous. I mean, this is a Hall of Fame. I mean, he's destined for the Hall of Fame. He's probably the most famous Brave ever. And I got there, early, and I was a little nervous about it. And I went into the restroom, and I was talking to his wife. Chipper wasn't there. I went into the restroom, and I came out of the restroom, drying my hands, and I looked up, and there was Chipper, bigger than life. I thought, man, two great athletes meet here together. But I wasn't expecting him. I just opened the door, and there he is. And I said, Chipper. Probably should have said Mr. Jones. But I said, Chipper. I said, Chipper, thank you for having me in your home. And if I live to be 100, I'll never forget what he said. He said, Pastor Benny, my home's your home. My home's your home. Anytime you want to come to my home, you're welcome. My home's your home. That's a wonderful thing, folks, about life groups. That's a wonderful thing about being in a small group. I preached a lady's funeral yesterday, and another lady, they said, we want her to read the scripture. We want her to pray. I said, I have no problem. They said, the reason why we want her to pray, she was so faithful to visit her. She read her the Bible while she was dying. She was a part of a prayer group with her, and we want her to pray. Do you have a problem with this? Oh, no, no. She cared for her better than I cared for her. That's what a life group's about. Somebody caring for you and you caring for other people, because we all need care, and we all need to care about people. So leave it in your pew today. There's a fourth thing about the early church, and I'm almost done. That's a lie. They were continual in praise. Look what verse 47 says. Praising God. Praising God. Folks, let me say this. We all have different personality types. We all have different personalities. Some of us are quiet. Some of us are more outgoing. But folks, I am convinced of this. Church ought to be an environment and an atmosphere of praise to the Lord. Because, I mean, folks, think about this. Let me tell you this. You are worshiping something. No, come on, get close. You are worshiping something. And whatever you're worshiping is going to become who you are. You're going to become whatever you worship. You say, Pastor, I'm just not into really getting real expressionary. Yeah, I've watched the football game. I know you don't. See, I've watched you on Friday and Saturday act like a wild Indian at those football games, and then Sunday act like a wooden Indian at church. Do you really think that junk is really, I mean, I'm a fan, but do you really think that's going to make any difference in all eternity? It's not going to make any difference in all eternity, but praise to the Lord makes all the difference in all eternity. I heard about a lady that was 85, went on a blind date with a guy that was 95. Yeah. Her daughter said, I've got concern, Mom. He's probably going to try to get frisky. I don't know that Savannah Abigail ever obeyed her daddy totally in this, but when she used to date some of those jugheads. But anyway, never did find one that was good enough for her. But when she used to date, I'd say, you take your Bible, will you, honey? I don't know that she ever did. You take your Bible and you put it between you and him. If he can crawl over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't need to be out with him, no way. They went on a blind date, came home at 1 a.m. The daughter said, Mom, did you have a great time? She said, it was horrible, terrible. She said, Mom, how was it? She said, horrible. I had to slap him 3 times. So, Mom, was he Oscar the Octopus? did he try to get frisky? She said, oh, no, I thought he was dead. See, folks, I'd rather cool down a fanatic than heat up a corpse. Amen? And let me tell you something. Church may be a lot of things, but it should not be dead, and it should not be lifeless. It ought to be an environment of praise to the Lord. He merits our praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He's worthy to be praised. Let me give you the last, and I'm done. They were concerned for unbelievers. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, look. If you look in verse 47, it says, the Lord added daily to the church. The Lord added daily to the church. Let me tell you something. If a church is not reaching people, folks, it's not a biblical church. The Lord added daily to the church. And I want you to know something. It matters not to me whether you're red, yellow, black, white. It matters not to me if you're educated. It matters not if you're uneducated. It matters not to me if you're on welfare or you're wealthy. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. Why, Pastor Benny, did they add? And I'm almost done. Why did they add to the church? Why did it happen? Look at what the scripture says in Acts 2 and 32. It says, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. You know why he added? Because those people went out and they were witnesses. What's God called you and I to be? Witnesses. We're not called to be prosecuting attorneys. It's never my place to tell somebody, you need to stop doing this. You need to start doing this. You need to put that down. Do you think they don't know You need to lose weight. Do you think that person don't know that? That's not our job. There's advantages to being a little overweight. It don't take as much water in the bathtub. You need to quit smoking. Do you really think they don't know that? Do you think they don't know that? That's more motivational for them to go out and light one up. No. See, here's a kicker. I really believe this. This is not a quote that's original with me. But here's where the church missed it. We're more interested in correcting people than we are connecting with people. I'll take you to a place, and I'm almost done. I ran 5 miles this morning. I run 5 miles every day of my life. But I was running on that road out there, and I had a family member that's in a perverted lifestyle, physically, just a perverted lifestyle. And I was running on that road, and I had the thought about, I don't know if I want them to come to my house. And running on that road, I was talking to God, and I said, God, I don't know that I want that in my house. And the Lord spoke to me and said, they might not be welcome in your house, but they'd be welcome in my house. Friend, there's no way I'm condoning sin, but I'm telling you, God loves people. God loves people. No matter what, no matter how bad they've messed up. I've messed up a lot of times in my life too. And God loves me. And God's forgiven me. And no matter what's happened in your life, God loves you. God's willing to forgive you. And you can be right with the Lord. You can be at peace with God. You can be at peace with God today. You can leave here right with Him today.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.